Okay, this is question five. And this question is pretty specific and interesting. So, if the rapture starts the second coming procession, what else happens in the second coming? And what's the second coming procession? What are the details of the second coming? Like, what's actually happening there?
Yeah. So it's a simple question, but it's got a lot of broad moving pieces to it because there's an entire end time drama that's going to be taking place, and this would be something we will, hope we can flesh out later. But there's, the element of the nations are going to be raging, and there's the Bible talks about the end times that Israel is going to be pushed up against a corner and about to be destroyed. And of course, the saints have been persecuted right up to the very end, and then all of a sudden the seventh trumpet blows, like we talked about in the last session, and the dead in Christ, all those who've ever died, their bodies are coming up out of the ground, and they're receiving their spirit and glorified body, and all the saints that were alive and remain are also being caught up directly afterwards, and they're also receiving their glorified body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And it says we're caught up to the clouds. Okay, so now we're in the clouds. Wait, what is that? And it's not just like just a normal, like just kind of poofy cloud. These are the glory clouds the Bible talks about that the king comes on, like say in Ezekiel 1 when he came to him on riding upon the cherubs. And but the Bible often depicts this second coming procession as the of Jesus coming back as a man of war. I just read a passage, Revelation 19 says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." And it goes on, it talks about he's going to go and actually create war against the what we call the Antichrist army and the nations that have gathered around Jerusalem. And so the second coming that starts with the resurrection and rapture of the saints is going to eventually proceed into a landmark that's going to go into Jerusalem and around Jerusalem to destroy the Antichrist armies.
So on the land,
Yes.
so there's going to be Jesus on the land with an army.
Yes.
Who's in the army?
So the Bible says this those that are coming on with white robes riding on horses, and it says it actually says in Zechariah 14 says it says, "And all the saints are with you," and also talks about all the holy angels. This is like the most massive parade procession you could ever imagine. That starts in the sky, it's the sign of the coming of the Son of Man, and eventually it's going to land on the earth. I mean, Jesus said it, and in Zechariah 14, it says, "On the day that his feet stand on the Mount of Olives," it says the Mount of Olives will be split in two. And then it says he'll run down and as a man of war, as one who goes into the day of battle. And it gives a lot of details what happens at that battle. But this is what Jesus even said. If you guys remember in Acts 1, when they saw Jesus leave, and they said, the angel said, "Why do you men stand here gazing? This same Jesus, same one that you saw go, is going to come back in like manner." In other words, the man Jesus that left is the man Jesus that's coming back. But he's not coming back, in the same way where he rode a lowly donkey at the first coming. He's coming back riding on the war horse, and he's going to go to battle. And he's going to remove the wicked from the earth, and he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years on the earth. Sorry, it's actually more than 1,000 years, but that first 1,000 years, he's going to set up what we call the millennial kingdom, which we'll get to in a later session. But the picture is that Jesus is coming back for a war campaign to remove the wicked from the earth and to begin to set up his kingdom on the planet.
So the second coming procession is all the saints.
Yes, all the
All
angels.
the angels.
Yes.
So heaven's grandstands are
It's
basically
emptying.
emptied. Jesus
Yes.
leading the armies, and he lands on the planet.
Right.
I remember you and I were sitting in a restaurant like 25 years ago, and I shared Revelation 16 with you. I said, "They're trying to fight Jesus. Where is Jesus?" And you're like, "On the planet?" Like, he's on the planet. And there is a whole narrative that the scripture explains in detail.
Right.
Zechariah 14 is so clear. Revelation 14 is
Isaiah
so clear.
63, right?
Isaiah 63 is so clear. There's dozens of scriptures that describe when Jesus lands with the armies of heaven. Habakkuk 3, when Jesus lands with the armies of heaven, and he is faced with wicked kings who are following Antichrist, with wicked armies who all taken the mark of the beast, They're demonized. Right. And they think somehow, because they're under the impulse of Lucifer, that they're going to
win.
They're going to stand against the Lamb of God. And what ensues is the most lopsided military campaign in the history of the planet. I've said it like this for many years. It's like a hot knife through butter.
Right.
It's 100% casualty on the side of the enemy, and not one person receives a nick on the side of Jesus. And it culminates with Jesus throwing the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire.
Right.
And then Satan himself is bound, and Revelation 20 tells us for 1,000 years.
Right.
And we're going to touch that in a further question. But that whole procession,
right,
that doesn't happen like in 1 second.
No, no, no.
How does that work out?
Well, so there, time, when Jesus returns, time doesn't stop. I used to have a kind of I used to think like when Jesus came back, he'd be like 8 million feet tall and he would land, you know, and then he would be like, evil be gone. Everything just stops and blows up. But that's just not the biblical narrative. It's time continues. You know, days continue, months continue. And we believe that there's actually, and this, not going too much detail, there's actually about a month period, a 30-day period that's described in Daniel from the time of the second coming, you know, when he starts the second coming, that's what we call day 1260 until day 1290.
That there's
30 days on the planet, which includes the resurrection and the rapture, because it says, behold, he's coming on the clouds. Every eye's got to see him. So there's some sort of procession happening across the sky. Then there's the landmarks that the Old Testament prophets talked about. And then there's the Battle of Jerusalem, the literal caption of the Antichrist, false prophet, casting in the lake of fire. There's also where Jesus is going to go into the temple and he's going to tear down an idol that's been set up. It's called the Abomination of Desolation, but it's just an idol that's going to be set up in the temple.
So people say Armageddon.
Right.
And I remember years ago, 1988, it was Russia against the United States.
Right.
And then it became somebody else against the United States. Right. But wait, Armageddon is it's a campaign, it's a military campaign that the Bible talks about.
Right.
Right?
Well,
in Revelation 16.
Yeah.
But who is it between?
So
is it between Russia and the United States?
No. It's Armageddon literally it talks about, it's just the gathering point of those wicked nations for the great battle. So it'd be like when we went to war against Iraq, we gathered, you know, I believe in Saudi Arabia at the time. And our nations were gathered there for the war that take place around Kuwait.
Staged in Kuwait.
So there's this, in the same way, there's going to be a gathering point around Armageddon, which is actually a literal place, the Hill of Megiddo, just north of Jerusalem.
It's a plain in
Israel.
Israel. I've been there, and it's amazing. It's a flat plain where you can have, I mean, probably millions of people.
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's the primary location of the battle, although I'm not saying there's no battling happening there, but the battle, in the scriptures, you talk about the Battle of Jerusalem, like in Joel 3, around Jerusalem seems to be the most intense battlefront, but the gathering happens there. And so, yeah, I think what your specific was.
Well, I was just saying there's so much confusion on that point. We've gotten our doctrine from movies, from headlines, but it literally says they're gathered to the plain of Megiddo.
Right.
And that's the Battle of Armageddon. And it's between Jesus and the armies of Antichrist.
Right. And it's not, and it's where we think of Armageddon, everybody thinks of it as end of the world. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible talks about ages to come.
Yes.
It is literally just the transitional war from this age into the next age when Jesus is ruling on the planet on this physical earth.
Yeah. Jesus is coming to end the conflict.
Right.
You know, don't start something, there won't be something. But Antichrist starts it.
Right.
Jesus is coming to end it, to drive him, Antichrist, as the usurper. He's trying to take the planet for Lucifer.
Right.
He drives him off the planet. And then it starts Jesus setting up his kingdom on the earth.
Right.
So we named a bunch of passages. We named Habakkuk 3, Revelation 14, Revelation 16. I mean, Zechariah 14, Isaiah 63. I'm just throwing them out off the top of my head. All of these are passages that describe the second coming procession on the land. I want to encourage you to take a look at those, read them, study them. See what the Lord speaks to your heart about it. Recognize that Jesus is coming back to end a military conflict that is across the globe and set up his kingdom.